Hello, welcome to another edition of the Evan Eichen Show. It is mid-September. We are getting closer to the end of the year 2020. And the last time that me and my guest this week talked was all the way back in late August of 2019. And we're going to see what she's been up to since the last time we talked. And the short answer to that question is a lot. It's former Waldorf classmate, current model, and fitness instructor, Claire Lawson. Claire, you are back in Florida. How does it feel to be back in your home state?
Hello. Yes, I am back in Florida. And first, thank you for having me on here again, Evan. It feels great to be back home in Florida. It really does. Like you said, the short answer is between this time last year and now, a lot has happened. And not even just for me personally, with all this craziness going on in the world, just everybody's had a lot going on. So I'm really excited to dive into what's changed for me and all the really good things that are on the horizon for me.
Let's start with the most tangible change that you've mentioned is that you were in Atlanta or you were in Georgia and you recently went back to Florida. What sort of went into your decisions to leave Atlanta and go back?
Yeah, so I was in Atlanta for about 3 years, almost 3 years, 2.5 years. And it wasn't my vibe. I started a company up there with my ex and it like popped off. It was doing really well. We did youth development soccer training, but it wasn't really my thing. So although I enjoyed it and I was doing it and having fun with it, it wasn't feeding my soul. And so I started to honestly get like depressed and homesick and I wasn't really sure what direction I wanted to take in my life. And so my now ex-boyfriend at the time was like, well, why don't you go back to Florida for a couple months, just kind of get your head back on straight and see what comes up for you. And I was like, you know what? That's a great idea. So I came back to Florida originally it was only going to be 6 months, just to kind of figure things out, see if I wanted to move back here permanently, which obviously I ended up doing, or go back to Georgia or whatever was going on in my head. I just needed some time to be around familiar faces and a familiar setting to just kind of regroup. And so during the 6 months that I was here last year, I decided that, you know what, this is where I'm meant to be in South Florida right now. And so I made the decision to permanently move back in December of last year. And here we are 9 months later and I'm still here and life is happening. And it's been really great. It's been a really great transition.
Were there moments where when you left Georgia, you sat there and thinking, what did I do? Why did I do this? I should go back.
Oh, absolutely. There was definitely those moments. I mean, like I said, I started a business up there and it was really starting to take off. We were really starting to just begin to like really make a name for ourselves in the Atlanta and greater Atlanta communities with youth development soccer. And so seeing that the business was progressing and getting ready to take off, that was really my struggle is, well, do I continue on with this because I see that it's successful and it can pay my bills? Or do I follow what my heart is telling me to do and come back to Florida where I know that like my soul is going to be satisfied and regardless, the money will come when I need it. For whatever, rent, bills, whatever it may be. So there's definitely been that kind of, what's the word that I want to use? Pull back and forth of, do I go back? Do I stay here? Should I have gone back? Why am I still here in Florida? But ultimately, when I just kind of quiet my mind and listen into myself, I know that this was the right decision to make, coming back to Florida and being here.
You started a youth soccer business, and soccer is one of those sports that on the surface seems like anybody can do. You run around and kick a ball. Like it on the surface, it's on the surface it seems like this extremely easy thing to do, but once you get into it, oh my God, there is so much more to that sport than running and kicking a ball. There's a lot of cardio involved and endurance. And what are some of the things that you, as someone who was a college soccer player, that sort of annoys you when people think that, oh, soccer, any moron can just run around and kick a ball. It's not that hard.
You know, I would have to say something that annoys, really just, I mean, what you said, like, people really think that it's just you run around and just like kick the ball, but there are so many different techniques to kicking the ball. Like, let's just start there with kicking the ball, using the inside of the foot, using the outside of the foot, using the laces on your shoe, how hard or soft to kick the ball. Are you making a pass or are you taking a shot? There's different angles that your foot needs to be at. There's different angles that your ankle needs to be at to make these shots. There's different ways that your body needs to be positioned running onto the ball in order to strike it in a way that is going to place it either bottom corner, top corner, or make that perfect pass or that perfect overhead ball to your teammate. There's so much. There's a lot of complexity, I would say, in soccer. However, the beautiful thing is when you are watching a team that does these complex things with such ease, it makes the game look flawless almost and beautiful. And it does. It makes it look easy to do. But once you get down to the techniques of everything, there's a lot more to it than just running around and kicking a ball back and forth.
And it's continuous nonstop running, so you need to have pretty good cardio to be able to do this, because there's really no, it's not like football or basketball where you can just take timeouts and everybody gets a breather and you can grab some water. It's 90 minutes of go, 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 go. Like when you work with youth, like what kind of the age range is that?
The youngest that I have worked with is 6 years old, all the way up through college level players. So, I mean, really all youth. But I would say that my favorite age group to work within would be that 7 to 12 year range. And then I would say like 15 to 17, like 7 to 12 and 15 to 17 are my favorites. But don't tell the kids that.
What is it about that 7 to 12 year old range that makes them your favorite to work with? Is it just they're a lot more enthusiastic and they do more, or what is it about that age range that makes it the favorite for you to work with?
So in that age range, a lot of the kids that we worked with were just starting out. And so they haven't been taught or coached improper ways of playing the game. So we really kind of had like a fresh slate there to teach them our technique and how we train them and our terminology and everything. Once you get into the older groups, kids have already been playing for a number of years. They've already had coaches teaching them how to do things a certain way. And so it gets more challenging. Think about it, as even as adults, like when we've already learned something and someone comes in and tries to teach us how to do that thing in a new way, we have resistance towards it, right? Because we've already learned it a certain way. So it's the same with the kids. When we have them at that younger age, 7 to 12, it's a fresh slate. We're able to teach them things without too much resistance or without too much, oh, I already learned that. I learned how to do it this way. Okay, that's great that you learned how to do it that way, but we're going to learn it this way and it's going to be a little bit different. So that would be my favorite thing about that age group.
Yeah, I've heard similar stories of when I talked to, like when I've had other athletes on the show, when they went through coaching changes, is when you've been playing a sport for long enough, you develop routines and habits, and when the new guy comes in, you sort of have to unlearn, and you sort of have to unlearn that system and break those old habits that you're just so used to. And I imagine, like what you put at that age range, you don't have as many bad habits that you need to have them unlearn and break. They're kind of a blank slate, and you can just do, you can mold them into whatever type of player you want them to be.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly what it is. And I always tell the kids, like, look, this is the way that I'm teaching you how to do this, and this is my reason why I'm teaching you this way. And later on, when you have another coach or another trainer, they might teach you to do this a different way, and that's okay. But here's why I'm teaching you this way, and this is what we're going to be doing today. It's funny. It's really important to treat the younger kids, I mean, all kids, but especially the younger kids, like little adults. Like, these kids are very smart, and a lot of the times when you explain to them why they're doing something, they're more inclined to focus on what it is that they're doing, rather than just like, do this because I said so. Like, how many times have our parents told us that? And we're like, yeah, whatever, I'm not going to do it. But once you have that reason of why you're doing this and how it benefits you and how it's going to make you into a better player or a better person, they're more inclined to do it.
I feel like that's a universal thing where we just sort of universally, regardless of age, bristle at the, you were doing it this way because I said so, and that's the end of the discussion. I think that's more of a universal sort of thing, other than, we're doing it this way and here's why. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've had teachers or parents, well, I would say my parents, not just parents in general, but where it's like, this is how it is because this is just how it is. And like, that's as far as the discussion goes, and they don't really get into the why. And then when you grow up and you get more life experience, like, you kind of get why they didn't really dive into more of the details of why things are that way. But it's one of those things that I can't really find like the right words for it, but if there's
it's
one
like a programming, pretty much.
If there's one thing that's important, is tell your kids like why you're doing things the way you're doing, especially if it's like coaching or parenting, but within reason, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, kids are people too, and they deserve that respect of knowing why they're doing something, whether it's sports or the dishes. they get to know why they're doing something and how it can benefit them or whatever the case may be.
I actually do have a funny story about me and my brother and dishes, and I'll tell you when we're off air, because like, I don't know if I can tell it. Actually, no, what the hell, it's my show, I can just do it anyway. So I was probably 11 or 12 years old, and it was Mother's Day, and I'm being the annoying big brother, picking on the little brother. Do you have any siblings younger than you, or were you sort of the...
Yeah, I have three younger brothers.
Did you pick on little brothers?
Whenever I did, then they ended up ganging up on me, so...
Yeah, that's...
But it happened. It definitely happened.
Anyways, I was just annoying him and bugging him, and it was Mother's Day, and my mom was sitting at the table, and Trevor looks up, and he looks up at us, or at me, and he says, "Don't make me hit you tomorrow, because you know I can't hit you today." For Mother's Day. And I'm pretty sure he did. And, you know, siblings are, like, how many siblings did you have? Because you said you had three younger brothers? Or does that mean?
Yeah, I have three younger brothers and one older brother.
So what was that like, being the only girl in a house full of four boys?
I'm just now kind of realizing how, differently I grew up because of that. When you're growing up in your family, I mean, that's what's normal to you, so you don't really know anything different. However, I see now that growing up with four brothers, really made me self-sufficient in a lot of ways. And also it kind of deters me from like asking for help and support from others, because I mean, growing up, boys are taught like you can do it by yourself, like just like grit it out and do it. And so growing up with four brothers, I kind of grew up with that same mentality of just get shit done by whatever means possible, even if you have to do it by yourself, and don't rely on others to help you, just get it done. And so that's actually one of the bigger realizations that I've had over this last year, is that I get to ask people for help and support on things, even as little as like helping me take the groceries from my car into the apartment, like whatever it is. So yeah, I would say growing up with four brothers taught me how to be a boy, I guess, in a sense, or it taught me how to really hone in on like my masculine energy. And so now I'm unlearning that and relearning how to operate out of like my feminine energy. So, yeah.
Huh, that's like I wonder if my sister feels the same way because she's older than the both of us. So it was just her, me, and my brother. And whenever my brother and I got sick of picking at each other, we would team up and pick on her. So I wonder if that's how she feels about it. I'm gonna have to ask her.
Yeah, definitely do.
Whenever you were like dating when you grew up in like high school, did they have to pass the brother test where it's like, okay, prospective boyfriend, or I'm just gonna throw you in there with the four brothers, and if they don't like you, then this isn't gonna work?
So I actually didn't really date in grade school at all. I wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend. Of course, I had like my little crushes and everything here and there, but I never had an actual boyfriend until college. So nope, they never had to go through that. I never really had a prom date either, so like he never had to meet my dad or my brothers, so that was great too.
So they never had the
So
chance to
yeah,
preemptively scare the guy away.
exactly, they never had a chance.
What would have happened if like what would have happened if like they actually got the chance to do that? Do you think they would have succeeded?
I mean, yeah, my brothers and my dad, they're pretty chill. Just don't mess with me and they won't mess with you, and that's pretty much how it is. Don't break my heart and they won't break your leg.
Yeah, and a 5-on-1 is not good for anybody.
Very true.
Oh my
Very
gosh.
true.
Have you now that COVID-19 has sort of shut everything down just from kind of like a being in public with a group of people sense, has your modeling work dried up because of it?
Yeah, I mean, partially because of COVID and partially just because my focus has been elsewhere over these last few months. I actually am supposed to have a photo shoot later this week, my first one in like a few weeks, and one at the end of the month. So I'm starting to get back into that. But honestly, had I stayed consistent with it through COVID, I don't really think it would have been that big of an issue. There's not many times where I'm in or at a photo shoot where there's ever more than 10 people there. So a lot of my shoots are very intimate, and usually it's just myself and the photographer and maybe one assistant. So yeah, that hasn't really, COVID hasn't really affected my modeling in any way.
Well, I just mean from more of like a being around like other people standpoint, like the social distancing and just sort of like being out in public. Like it's I imagine it's like it's a lot tougher in Florida because you're still in like the West Palm Beach area, which is pretty heavily populated. It's a beach town popular with spring breakers. Are you still in that area or?
Yeah, yep, I'm still in South Florida. I'm still in that area. Yeah, there definitely has been an impact on in the fitness community, for sure. The studio, well, I was working at two studios. One of them ended up closing its doors permanently because of COVID, and the second one closed for about 3 months and then reopened with a modified schedule and a lot of like COVID precautions and everything, wearing masks in and out of the studio, hand sanitizer everywhere, just different protocols put in place. So yeah, I've definitely been affected in that sense by COVID.
Did it affect you from like a you couldn't do your job from an extended period of time standpoint?
Yes. Yep. There, when all of this first started, I would say it's March, April, and May were really challenging months. I actually ended up starting to just do a whole bunch of Instagram videos, fitness videos and stuff for people who were stuck in the house. And through that, I actually started teaching a couple classes a week virtually for a yoga studio that's based in Maryland. And then I also started doing some virtual training myself with some clients through FaceTime and Skype and different things like that. So it's really just been a transition period of figuring out what works not in person and what doesn't work not in person, because there's a big difference between teaching a class in person and having the energy of the others in the room, being able to kind of like feed you as you teach, and then being in your bedroom with their mics muted and you just sound like you're talking to yourself for an hour. There's definitely a big difference in those two styles of teaching. But overall, it's been a pretty positive experience, just kind of figuring out how can I still monetize my business without having to physically be in the same room as the people that I'm training. So lots of learning and growing over these last few months. Thank you, COVID.
Speaking of COVID, ever since the pandemic started, whenever I had guests on, one of the topics that I want to cover with them is things that COVID introduced that you wouldn't mind if they just became the norm. What are some of the things that COVID introduced that you're like, yeah, can it just be like this forever from now on?
That is a really good question. I'm kind of stumped right now.
Do you want me to share like some of the popular answers that have been given?
Yeah, for sure. That'd be great.
The most obvious one is working from home. Forever Jobs insisted, no, you must wear a polo shirt and khakis to this call center job where nobody can see you. It's like, wait, so I can just do this on my couch? And I can get 95% of my job done. I don't have to come to the office anymore. Okay. Another one is more of like a sad one, but like the concept of snow days are going to die. Because now that there's Zoom learning, oh, there's 10 inches of snow outside. Okay, well, everybody get on Zoom. No, there's no snow days.
Yeah.
So the concept of snow days are going to go away. We talked about how movie theaters are probably going to die. Because, I mean, just think about when you were a kid growing up with four brothers, so there's five of you plus mom and dad, so that's seven in the house.
Yep.
Think of how much money your mom and dad spent to get you and your five brothers ready to go to the theater, buy tickets, get snacks, get seats, and parking. If it's a large theater, they might charge for parking. But now it's like, wait a minute, I can just sit on my couch and pay $30 to watch Mulan? Okay, I'm just going to do that instead of spending however much money it is to go to the theater. It's like, oh, I can just spend $20, watch this on pay-per-view on my couch? Okay. So those are some of the answers that we've been given, but I was wondering, like, what about things like maybe Florida-specific things that you wouldn't mind if they just became the norm?
Well, the beaches have definitely been less crowded, so I wouldn't mind that going back to normal being the norm. But yeah, I would have to agree with the whole working from home aspect and Also being able to just like connect with family or roommates, if you have roommates or whatever it is. I know maybe some people didn't like that so much, being cooped up in the house for the first couple months of COVID with their people. But I would say, like, in today's day and age, we are so busy all the time. Work, projects, whatever it is, we just keep ourselves busy going on Instagram, Facebook, Reddit, whatever it is, that we kind of lost connection, with the people who we live with. So I think having that connection with the people that you're closest to, I think that would be really awesome if that could stay a thing. And we don't just start ghosting the people that we live with once life returns to normal or whatever the new normal is going to be. And I mean, like you said before, at home businesses are thriving right now. And to see people go after their dreams in this time of uncertainty and start these at home businesses or businesses that they can run from their laptop wherever they're at. That has been a beautiful thing to witness. And I would love to see more people continue to follow after their dreams and make their dreams happen in a reality moving forward. So I hope that stays.
That's an interesting take on the beach one, where it's like less crowded beaches. Yes, please, more of that. Especially around like spring break time. Because, like.
Yeah, spring break here in West Palm. The beaches don't get too crazy. More people want to go to like Miami or Panama City Beach, which is like up in the Panhandle. So West Palm's kind of like a hidden gem. So we don't get too crazy during spring break here. But then again, Miami's only about a 45-minute drive from here. So if you want the party scene, you can just head down to Miami. Although Miami's been pretty much in quarantine like this entire time. They come out of quarantine and then 2 weeks later they're right back in lockdown. So
Well, I think that's a good place for us to wrap up on these things. Thank you for taking the time out to sort of share what you've been up to ever since the last time we talked, and hopefully next time we get back together, it's less than a year later.
yeah, for sure.
Less than over a year later. If you want to check out this episode and future ones, we're on anchor.fm. We're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. For Claire Lawson, I'm Evan Eichen saying so long, and we'll see you next time.